You send chills up my spine every time I take one look at you. Ooh, and I like it.
Hey, sweet baby, welcome to Love Life Skills for Leaders, where we heal the past, love ourselves unconditionally, and start our love lives over from a clean slate every damn day. I'm Candace Harper, relationship coach and hypnotherapist, and I help high-performing, perfectionistic people overcome loneliness and create meaningful, intimate connections. This is a mature conversation for powerful people who want to have their best possible love life. And whether you're single or coupled, stick with me and learn why loneliness isn't contingent on whether or not you have a partner, and how loneliness can be cured from the inside out. Also, make sure to subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are watching or listening. All right, let's do this thing. Hello, my darlings. Hello, my sweet loves, my sweet babies. I'm so glad you're back with me for another week of Love Life Skills for Leaders, formerly Ask for Candy, the podcast. So this is going to be an interesting one this week because I've done this topic before because, you know, as you know, I have a book that I've been working on for some years, but it's not just one book. I have two books. I have a secondary book, and I just sort of came across a video from when I read an excerpt from the secondary book, and it really got a very positive response. I have not picked up this book in a long time because, you know, when you're working with clients and your focus is generating leads and getting more clients in and keeping your business running, time to write your books can sometimes be elusive. So I am getting more committed and more serious working with my accountability partner to get some book writing done, to really, like, I have two books I need to get out there. One of which I've read excerpts from before, called I'm Not Mad, But She's Still Crazy, the book about getting right with your mom for the sake of your love life, and the story of how I got right with my mom for the sake of my love life. And then another one, which I might have mentioned on the show before, but it's been ages, but the working title is 20 Good Reasons to Throw That Man Some Pussy. And for those of you who do not like vulgarity, 20 good reasons to engage with a partner. So I want to read a little bit. I want to read an excerpt from 20 Good Reasons to Throw That Man Some Pussy. I want to sort of suss out a little bit of the content, a little bit of the information. And hopefully, if you're willing, if you're feeling so generous, hopefully you will want to give me a little bit of feedback about what you think, because this is a work in progress. And as Erica Badu says, keep in mind, I'm an artist. I'm sensitive about my shit. It is a work in progress, and I want it to be something that is helpful to you all who listen and anyone who comes across this podcast. You know, even years and years from now, when, as my mother would say, I've gone on to glory, I want people to find this podcast and I want them to listen to it and get something for themselves and something that is valuable. Now, those of you who might be a little bit prudish about language, and those of you who listen regularly, I know you're not, because I know I got a trucker mouth. But those of you who are a little prudish about language, the invitation is to listen past the language, not get so caught up in words, you know, the whatever meaning you've made of these words or whatever these words might trigger in you. If it's too much for you and you feel like I can't listen to her because she's talking with vulgarities, I totally understand. I would not ask you to force yourself to be uncomfortable. But if you want to stay for the transformation, if you want to stay for the breakthroughs that can come from getting this information, then by all means, please do. I love you so much. All right, let's read a little bit. Let's get into the intro of 20 Really Good Reasons to Throw That Man Some Pussy. Now, side note, I began writing this book when I was living with, renting a room with a friend who was also living with their partner. And so this book comes from a lot of observation of married couples that I know, observation of my own relationship and my own dealings with, you know, being in a monogamous relationship with someone long term, and you know, trying to build a long-term monogamous relationship with someone, and how our views of our pussy and how we feel about our genitalia, you know, whatever was conditioned into us, how that truly affects how we use sex in a relationship and how we do or don't see it, see, you know, ourselves and our genitals as valuable. You know, your vaginal area is a very, very valuable area. So are you ready? I feel like I've introed it enough. I've talked it up enough. So the intro is entitled The Monetization of the Pussy. In order to enjoy ourselves here, we will have to release the notion that sex is any kind of exchange or currency. I know. Trading the vajayjay is the oldest profession. And like the great and prolific Cardi B says, I let him get what he want, he buy me Yves Saint Laurent. So much in our history and culture supports the notion that even just the promise of sex can secure great material gain. And clearly there is evidence everywhere. In fact, just for having a physical look that is sexually appealing enough to enough people, women and some men become multimillionaires. Look at the Kardashians, right? Even if it's manufactured sexuality, whether real or imagined, real or created, it can garner a lot of financial gain to be sexually appealing, to look sexually appealing. So I have no judgments around how you get your bags. I do, however, have an invested interest in how you attract and experience a healthy, intimate love life. So if dick sucking for dollars and dangling them panani like a carrot for control is your jam, and you are not looking for that deeper love, this book may not be for you. But for the rest of us, those who unapologetically desire real, heartfelt intimacy, but may be stuck in an old paradigm of sex withholding or even sexual shame, it's time to deep dive into the muff of the joy of sexual expression. We're going to talk about how and why to get past our disempowering sex stories and make sex a sustainable way to be creative, joyful, and affectionate without all the shame, attachment, and guilt stuff that happens when we're giving it up for something in return or holding on to it in a relationship like a kidnapper waiting for ransom. And those of y'all who do that know you do that, right? Holding it back because, you know, you're mad at that person, or you're trying to get that person to do something. So here are some beliefs you will have to suspend or at least pack up in a little mental box that says do not open until healed in order to get the best benefits from this book. Don't worry, though. I wouldn't bust up your old beliefs without offering new ones to replace them with. None of us likes to have our beliefs tampered with. So before your resistance reflex takes over and you give up reading, if you promise to try on these new thoughts like they're on the sale rack at Saks, I promise I won't try to convince you of anything that won't bring you and your partner, potential or otherwise, absolute joy. So now in the book, I've written a chart. So I'm just going to read the chart. So there's three columns to the chart: the disempowering belief that you may or may not have, the belief buster, and then a new thought or mantra to carry with you. A new thought or mantra to replace the disempowering belief. And as you know, if you listen to the show, that I'm a believer in the way that we transform our beliefs. The reason we transform our beliefs is so that we can have a different experience and have different behaviors. But the way that we transform our beliefs is through practice of thinking new thoughts in order to create them into beliefs. And that takes time. That can take days. It can take 21 to 90 days to practice a new habit of thought that forms a new belief. So the first disempowering belief, the pussy is currency, right? It's proof everywhere that pussy is currency. Right? It's the oldest profession. And if you just turn on any channel where you can watch music videos, let me just put out a percentage, maybe 80% of female artists use sexuality in order to sell their talent, even the ones who don't really even need to. Right? There is currency in it. So I've kind of covered it earlier, but when the pussy has a price, a lot can be purchased, but nothing it buys will feel like real love. So in as much as we live in a society where it's very much currency, It can't buy love. It can't buy anything that really feels like love. It can buy a lot of fun and adventure. It can buy, you know, fancy clothing and jewelry and all those things. It can buy social media notoriety, all of those things. But it can't buy anything that actually feels like love. So a new thought or mantra, if this is a belief that you've been harboring, whether knowingly or unknowingly, feeling like, you know, using your sexuality is the way to garner what you need and what you ultimately want. A new thought, I can share my pussy as a gift and an honor to receive because like my heart, I give it as an expression of how I feel. When I believe that mantra, when I begin to believe that, my discernment for how I share my pussy, who I give it to, the situations I find myself in becomes just that much better because I understand that it's a gift and an honor to receive it, right? It is like my heart. I give it as an expression of how I feel. Now, that's not a moral judgment if you're giving it for any other reason. We're just talking about those people who want that deep level love and want to experience that deep level love. So this is a way, an avenue. By honoring my pussy in this way, I set myself up for deep level love. Another disempowering belief, the pussy can be used up. So usually it's misogynist men that believe this, but I think a lot of women sort of espouse to the thoughts around this belief. Even if you were to ask them directly, they'd say, oh, I don't believe that. But then if you're sitting in shame around the number of sexual partners you've had, if you're judging other women around, you know, the number of sexual partners they've had, if you feel as though you are devalued or lesser than or not enough because of your sexual experiences, the things you might have been through, if you've been through any traumas, if you feel like that lessens who you are, then you are subscribing to this idea that it can be used up. So the belief buster for that one, the vagina and vulva age just like the rest of our bodies. And yes, it can be damaged, stretched, and injured. True. However, when we don't view it as currency, it doesn't decrease in value. So no matter what it's been through, you know, moles, I was going to say warts and all, but you don't, whatever. We're not going to wish warts on anybody. But even if you have warts, like, you know, one thing you have to do is understand that it doesn't decrease the value because if you're not thinking of it like a currency, like something that you're using to trade for something material, then it's not going to decrease in value. It's always going to be a tool for you to express your love and affection, right? Or to birth your real children and your creativity. Your womb is there to birth your creativity. And so a new thought, a new mantra, every part of my body, especially my pussy, deserves care, protection, and nurturing. I don't care where it's been, what it's been through, you know, how people have judged you or how you've judged yourself sexually. Every part of your body, especially your pussy, deserves care, protection, and nurturing. Number three, disempowering belief, the pussy is a source of shame. So whether it starts when we have our period, sexual trauma, or family ignorance, culturally, we're conditioned to think negatively and associate negative things with our pussy. You know, I can go back to like even having grown women as, you know, roommates who had shame around the fact that they were having their period or felt like a period was a shameful thing that you have to hide. So we're taught that. We're taught that we're supposed to feel shameful about it, right? So, you know, back to sexual history and, you know, the fact that it functions normally as it's supposed to, or sometimes the fact that it's not functioning normally as it's supposed to. How many of us out there have dealt with things like fibroids and other sort of dysfunctions and issues, health issues around it? And a lot of times that causes us to have a lot of shame around, you know, what's going on with it. Right? So a new mantra, a new belief. I honor my pussy as the sweet vessel of life, love, compassion, and pleasure that it is. There is only pride around my pussy and all its amazing ability. It's got a lot of ability. As I was saying, it is the vessel, the canal through which ideas and people can flow. So it's got a lot of ability and value and power. Another disempowering belief that we often espouse, even when we don't know it, is that the pussy is a curse. So, you know, to bust that belief for all the period haters out there, not just the period shamers, not just those who are ashamed of it, those who hate it. I used to be, when I was young, I used to complain every single time, every month. you know, as if I just wasn't used to it coming every month. And granted, you know, there's some of us out there, the period can be very challenging, very painful, very bloody. It can feel like it is a curse and it's something terrible that is happening. But, you know, with proper health care and, you know, making sure that how your body is functioning is how your body needs to function, and, you know, taking care of it if it's not functioning properly, the understanding is that it's meant, like, our functioning of our reproductive system is a healthy, beautiful, wonderful, amazing thing. It is not something to be revered or hated. We've been taught by the patriarchy, we've been taught by capitalism that, you know, you got to make it smell different, you got to make it come out different, you got to catch it in a way that's going to not offend other people, that you got. And I'm not advocating for just, you know, walking around just bleeding all over the place and not caring if that's not your jam. You know, I'm someone who likes to be clean, so I can understand if you want to be someone who is high level as far as taking care of yourself around having it, that's great. It's just the mentality that you are somehow accursed. And a lot of times we unconsciously, blindly, especially younger women, walk around with this idea that I am cursed. This is a curse. They call it the curse. I complain every month. I have a hard time with it every month. And as someone who was, you know, just beginning the going through the change of not having it anymore, like, you know, I did at some point in my life, I would say at least a decade or so ago, begin to understand that it is a beautiful gift that I have been given for my body to function in the way that it does. And not only has my period always been something that shows up for me to show me that I'm healthy and that I'm strong and that things are functioning the way that they are supposed to, but, you know, it's also been just a sign of life. And if you are biologically born female, it is a gift for you. Now, I know some of you out there like, Candace, shut the fuck up. I have the worst cramps in the world. I've been through all kinds of, you know, health issues. It's the hardest thing for me. You know, like, you don't understand the hardships that I've been through. And I don't want to invalidate any of that stuff. But the invitation is to consider how a shift in mentality around, you know, what it's there for, what its purpose is, and how you view it, how that can affect your experience of it. Right. And that's not toxic positivity where I'm saying just, you know, pretend like it's all great and that you love it and you love the pain, you love the cramps, la, 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 la. It's not that. It's, you know, how can I begin to shift how I view this thing that my body naturally does so that I can align myself. And we do have the power to do that when our subconscious beliefs, you know, send us a certain kind of message, our cells will align with the best possible experience that I can have around it, right? It's called self-healing. If you ever read a Louise Hay book, you know what I'm talking about, but I could do a whole nother show about that. So, the new mantra, my pussy has endured things I never imagined. I am grateful that it's resilient. I love my pussy in every part of me. So that's just something to say to yourself, to reconnect those synapses, to change those beliefs, those thoughts, and allow the cells to align with the new thought pattern. If I have an old thought pattern that is, you know, my period's a curse, I hate it, oh my God, it's coming again, give me some chocolate, leave me alone, it's just one of those days, I can't, this is horrible, it's the worst. Like, if that's my continuous, consistent, repeating thoughts, then what my beliefs are going to form around that is that I am cursed. And if I believe that, I'm absolutely right about that. And I know you have all the evidence, you may have all the evidence in the world, but try it on. Try on the possibility that if I begin to think differently about its function, I might have a different experience with it. If you want to have a full session about it, we certainly can do that, because I know that this is not an easy, you're not a light switch, it's not an easy fix. And so the last disempowering belief is the pussy is not attached to the heart. Now, this is not the last disempowering belief that exists around our reproductive systems, but these ones that I've come up with are sort of the main ones that I run into a lot when I'm dealing with clients, when I'm talking to other women, when I'm in women's healing circles. You know, these are just the reoccurring thoughts and beliefs that, you know, a lot of us have, especially in the society that we live in, because that's what we've been taught. So this idea that it is not attached to the heart. So there is somewhat of a movement out there, right? You know, we want to have sex positivity. We want to be as autonomous over our bodies as possible. There's nothing wrong with any of that. We want to be able to make choices around who we're with and our sexual experiences without being judged. We want to be able to not be living this double standard of, you know, that we must be chaste and pure and that men can have sex with any and everyone, which, you know, the math ain't mathin'. Like how would that work if all women were absolutely pure and chaste and never had sex? And I hate that word pure because, you know, purity is in no way configured by how many dicks you've taken. Like, there's a lot of people who are very impure of heart and have never taken a dick. So that could be a whole nother show. But this disempowering belief that it's not attached to your heart, right? It is attached to your heart. It's absolutely attached to your heart. And it's not how you use it that dictates what's in your heart. It's what's in your heart can be affected by how you use it, right? So, or, you know, what is in your heart is sort of the dictator of how you treat it, how you treat your pussy, right? So when we allow it, our pussies are an energetic extension of our hearts. It's why they respond to people we have romantic love for, even when the physical attraction is not initially that strong. If you've ever been in that situation where someone you're dating, someone you're with, you have grown to love them, which I actually recommend rather than, you know, chasing after someone because you're hot from them from the get-go. If you've ever been in that position where you have grown to love someone and you've begun to build something with someone, you notice that your sexual attraction for them begins to grow as well. And, you know, the pussy does respond to someone who you have a heart-centered love and passion for. And when you're in the healthiest possible feminine state, it responds even more to someone who your heart says, this person is good for me. Your heart will tell you when someone is good for it. You'll know that feeling. And you'll know that feeling when someone's not good for your heart, because that's that person that, you know, triggers all your struggle love and all your trauma responses and all of your distraughtness and your attachment issues. And, you know, there goes the German Shepherd and every other, you know, description I could possibly have for it. That's when someone's not good for your heart. But when they're good for your heart, and, you know, it's not necessarily about whether they look like Idris Elba or a Hemsworth. When they're good for your heart, your pussy will respond. And the reason that it will respond is because it is attached to your heart in that way. And by the same token, if you give it to someone with the hopes that it's going to cause some sort of connection and it doesn't cause some sort of connection, it's why we feel it so strongly the way that we do, because, you know, we've made that heart to reproductive system connection, and biologically we're wired for all of those things to work together. We could do a whole nother show about that. But the new mantra, the new thought around that, rather than that my pussy is not attached to my heart, my pussy is an expression. It is symbolic of my feminine energy, my heart, and my power. It speaks to me whether I listen to it or not. Your pussy will speak to you, honey, whether you listen to it or not. And I want to invite you to repeat the new thoughts, these new mantras, especially the ones that conflict with any disempowering beliefs. Any of the ones that you were like, Candace, what you talking about? Try it out. Try it out. Try it on. See what happens. Say them to yourself in a mirror every morning. Better yet, say them to your pussy through a mirror every night. Keep saying them until you've reconnected the synapses in your brain. And perhaps, just maybe, by the time you get to the 20 really good reasons that are coming up in this book, that, you know, when you buy the book, and I do expect you to buy the book, when you read those 20 really good reasons to give that man some pussy, you'll be able to see the possibilities and forgo any past limits you've been setting for yourself, your vag, and your relationship. So pussy, when we turn it into currency, its worth can be diminished. When it symbolizes our creativity and our ability to share love, our heart, by giving life and joy, not only is it priceless, it can never truly be taken, tarnished, or traded. It will never diminish. It is an amazing tool for vulnerability and self-expression, and most importantly, showing your valued appreciation to someone who truly does right by you, someone who truly speaks to your heart. So that's the intro. And so as I'm structuring the book, I'm going to go forward before I give the 20 good reasons to throw that man some pussy. I'm going to give 10 terrible reasons to throw that man some pussy. And I'm going to give you the list. I'm not going to lay them all out right now because I'm trying to keep this short and sweet. Y'all know I'm trying to be a little bit more efficient about my podcast. I've been trying to stay within the 30 minute mark because I don't want to go too long and have y'all not listen to the whole thing and get the value. But 20 terrible reasons right quick: because he looks good, because he's handsome. Now, this is not to say that if you're in a stage of your life, if you're in a hoe phase, or if you're in a stage in your life where casual sex is all you want, then great. I'm talking to women who really want deep level connection, right? I'm talking to women who are committed to and intentional about the fact that what they want is a relationship, right? You can be going through whatever wild phase you want to go through right now, whatever sexual phase that's casual. No judgments, absolutely 100%. If you're living single life, you're just finishing up a hot girl summer, whatever. I got no judgments on any of that. But because I'm talking to women who want a deep level intimate connection, throwing a man some pussy because he looks good is not going to do you any favors. If that's your main reason, if that's your top reason, and you know what you're trying to build for yourself is real relationship, something to think about. It's a terrible reason. Because he plays guitar. Now, plays guitar, paints like a Basquiat, you know, has some sort of amazing creative talent. My one really good friend who we've been friends for going on 30 some years, one thing she has always loved is a good looking actor. And she could always be put over the top by an actor if he acted well enough, if he, you know, sang, he was a musician, if he did all of that well enough, like, easily would give it up. No judgments. But if we're looking for that deep level connection, you know, we want that deep level love. The fact that he's a musician might be a great thing. That might be a great lifestyle alignment, but it's not a reason to throw that man some pussy. It's not a reason to share with him the expression of your heart. If that's your top reason and what you want is a relationship, nope, doesn't work. Because he has money. I mean, come on now. If you're giving it to him because he has money and you are a sex worker, get your bag, honey. Do your thing. But if part of you is like, oh, well, he's going to have enough money to support a relationship and I don't want to displease him. And, you know, just think about instances where you felt like a man was coming with a lot materially. And if you've ever compromised what you really wanted to do because there was a fear that, you know, this person might not be interested unless you gave them what they wanted. Now, if you did ever do this, or if you, first of all, if you're sitting in judgment of anybody who's ever done that or been in that thought pattern, then you're not being honest with yourself. Because I feel like we've all gone through different stages in our life where we didn't really understand what was really important when it came to love. Because if that weren't the case, we would all be in loving, perfect partnerships. Right. So for some of us, it's thinking that a man who has money is going to be somebody that I need to win over. So I'm going to give him what he wants. That's a terrible reason to give somebody some pussy, because you're out for revenge. Right. Because somebody cheated on you, or, somebody did you in a way. And so you're trying to get them back, or you're mad at a friend. So you sleep with her husband, or, you know, whatever. I know my podcast listeners are a whole different breed, a whole different caliber of woman, but we've all done some things that are very unworkable when it comes to creating a loving, intimate sex life, a loving, intimate, romantic life and sex life as well, because he won't take no for an answer. Never a good reason to throw a man some pussy. Because he won't take no for an answer. If you're not on board and you don't want to do it and he just won't take no for an answer, that's rapey. It's rapey. And I know some of you are like, Candace, you don't need to say that. I know that. But that doesn't mean that we don't still get into those situations. As a matter of fact, I have a young woman in my life who I love very much who shared with me not too long ago that she was in that exact situation. Because you hope he'll commit. He will never commit for the punani. He just never will. He may do some things that look like he is. He may move in with you. He may even marry you because he feels like it's so good. But if you think that he's going to really emotionally commit to you, and don't confuse marrying you with emotionally committing to you. That's another thing that we do way too often. Do not confuse marrying you with emotionally committing to you. It's two completely different things, right? So a guy can go pretty far as the steps that he will take. And you think, oh, because I'm laying it on him so good. But that will not bring emotional commitment. Because you're trying to get pregnant and hoping he'll commit. Don't ever get pregnant hoping somebody will commit. If somebody's not already committed, do not get pregnant with them. I mean, I know it's like, Candace, you don't need to say these things. But I do need to say these things for somebody out there. And if you already know these things, you should be telling somebody out there. Because you think it's the only way to keep him from cheating. It won't keep him from cheating if he's a cheater. And he has his issues for cheating. I mean, like, cheaters have their own issues that have nothing to do with you. They may make it about you. They may blame it on you. But if they're cheaters, they're cheaters. And if he's cheated, you're not going to keep him from cheating by laying it on him sexually. Now, whatever process you've gone through, if you're in a marriage, you're in a relationship where cheating has happened, infidelity has happened, and you've healed that part of your relationship, that's great. And it is good to maintain a healthy sex life. If that's the case, if you've decided to be with someone and be in collaboration around maintaining a healthy sex life, but to attach that healthy sex life to thinking that you're going to keep him from cheating, you're kidding yourself, because that's a manipulation and you know, it's a illusion of control. I know I said I wasn't going to explain each of these, but I can't help myself. Imagine how this prolific this book is going to be, because you're drunk. Right. So, you know, but Candace, I'm drunk. I don't know anything. Yeah, so, I mean, does this really need to be explained? It's never a good reason to give somebody some pussy because you're drunk. Drunk, feeling sad, feeling lonely, you know, letting all bets be off because you haven't been feeling great about yourself or the things aren't going the way that you want relationship-wise. And so let me just give it to this dude. Yeah, no, not when you're committed to and intentional about creating a relationship with someone. Because he smells good. Sometimes those pheromones, they can just give off like such a thing. I mean, the most abusive relationship that I was in, to the very last day, the way that he smelled just like intoxicated me. Right? Not a good reason to give somebody some pussy. Because that whole pheromone thing, yes, it's biological and, you know, we're wired for that so that we will procreate and all of that stuff is great. It's fine. I'm not saying, you know, only be with men that don't smell good. What I'm saying is that if that's your top reason, if that's your justification for doing something that, you know, in the big picture, you're hoping will cause something else, you want to reevaluate that. Because giving the pussy in order to cause something else, with the hopes of causing something else, or because someone, you know, the physical attraction is just so absolutely strong. Now, again, caveat, if you're in a casual phase and casual is what you're doing, by all means, enjoy yourself. Definitely sleep with him if he smells good. But I'm talking to my women who are intentional and committed about getting into a serious relationship with somebody. And so in the meantime, you want to be practicing vibing on the level of abundance, not vibing on the level of lack. And so if I say, you know, oh, I do want to be in a relationship, but let me just get with dude because he smells good. You know, think about any time I've done that before. Think about any time you've done that and the aftermath of that and what it feels like when what you really want is a deep level emotional connection. And yes, sometimes, okay, oh, you know, I've satisfied that physical need, but it's just so short term. It's like eating cake. It's just such a short term satisfaction, and it's a cheap satisfaction, right? So ultimately, it is not showing the universe that you are vibing on the level of what you want, that you are committed to what you want, that commitment, knowing that what you really want is there for you. So you don't have to take a substitution. And last one out of the 10 terrible reasons to throw that man some pussy is because he bought dinner or paid for your travel to see him. And this is a new thing I feel that's trending on social media. Everybody's talking about when a man buys dinner. And I guess there was recently a viral video where a man had flown a woman out to see him and she said no to sex. And so he revoked her return flight and left her stranded at the airport. So he put her safety in danger. If that's not the most rapey thing I've ever heard, he put her safety in danger because she did not sleep with him. So if you ever find yourself, first of all, never be in a position where you're relying on someone that you don't know well enough to know that they wouldn't do something like that. right? And I know that can be easier said than done, but that's life. Everything is easier said than done. But, you know, you always want to be, my mom used to call it mad money. You always want to be able to handle, take care of if you are left somewhere or if somebody, you know, drops out financially and they've promised you something. You don't want anyone to have that kind of control as if they are paying for you. If you are not a sex worker and that is not the transaction that you have set up, there is no reason for you to be in that kind of situation where you don't get paid unless you put out. Right? You don't get to eat unless you put out. Or if you ate, you need to put out. Like, it's a terrible reason. And I know even some of the most mature among us can have a level of guilt if a man has taken them. I had a man take me out in 2018 and he just went all out. Like, you know, got us the sort of private cellar prefix situation where it's like 7 courses with wine pairings, and you know, we're in the romantic area of the wine cellar where it's only us. We don't even have to sit next to any other tables, and you know, the wait staff is, there's, you know, 3 wait staff and they're all just devoted to us. And, you know, I know he paid a good amount of money for that check, and his expectation that we sleep together was so hard. He did everything he could to be able to come into my house after that date. And, you know, God was on my side. My vibe was on my side. Whatever you believe in, don't believe in, you know, my feelings about my worth were on my side that night. Cause I was just like, absolutely not. Just absolutely not. And it wasn't because I wasn't attracted to him. It wasn't that at all. But it was because I recognized that all of those efforts were just to one end goal. They were manipulative efforts. Right. And I realized at that time that what I was committed to is a healthy singlehood and feeling good about myself and not compromising myself or, you know, giving over to things that didn't align with what I truly wanted. And I wasn't looking for casual sex. I wasn't looking to hook up with anybody, even somebody that I found attractive. I thought he was interesting. He was attractive. He was funny. We had a great time together. And he spent a whole lot of money on that dinner. And I absolutely refused to have sex with him as much as he pushed. And shortly after that, I didn't hear from him much anymore. And I was totally fine with that. And the reason I was fine with that is because I just stuck to my guns that that would have been a terrible reason to engage with him in that way. It wasn't worth it. It just wasn't worth it, my loves. Because, you know, we didn't talk much after that. And if I had had sex with him, we wouldn't have talked much after that either. And that wasn't the phase that I was in. I did not want any, I wasn't looking for any casual relationships. So that's it, my sweet loves. It's been another wonderful, I can't believe how fast this time goes by. So all of this stuff that I talk about, the book is coming out very soon. I'm working on it. I'm working on getting that done this month so that I can release it. I'm going to self-publish this one and release it on Amazon. So of course I'll make sure you have the link so that you can get it. I might even set up a cart so you can pre-buy if you want to pre-buy the book. Let me know if that's something you want me to do. If you get my newsletter, if you don't get my newsletter yet, you got to go to CandiceHarperLoveCoach.com and sign up for it, because that's where I put all the links and information for how you can get at me. Even if you want like a complimentary consultation to be in my program, Love Life Skills for Leaders, the best way to do that is to be on my newsletter, because you'll have whatever links, you know, whatever ways you need to get in touch with me, you'll be able to do it that way. And that's it. My sweethearts, my sweet, sweet loves, 20 good reasons to throw that man some pussy. You got the intro excerpt. You got the 10 terrible reasons, which, you know, I'll fill in even more for the book with all of the truth and the comedy that I can muster, And then the 20 good reasons obviously will also be in the book. I love y'all so, 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 so much. And so until next time. Oh, wait. What did I want to tell you? Oh, don't forget to follow me on Instagram and TikTok and even Twitter, even though I don't tweet that often, at Candy Love Coach. And I believe that's it. Until next time, keep being unapologetically lovable. Give yourself grace. You know, I love you so much. And take care of yourself. Have a wonderful week. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Bye, my sweetheart.